Hey everybody, this is Sam, and yeah, you're getting this episode a day early, because tomorrow is going to be a very busy day for us, and today is actually a little bit busy for us too, because we're going to be helping out Atheist Nomads with their Leukemia and Lymphoma Society Light the Night Streamathon, going on from Pacific time, noon to midnight. You can go to their website at atheistnomads.com, or you can go to our website at askanatheist.tv. We're going to have their live stream right on the top of our page. And we are collecting donations for Dustin and Lauren's walk. And as you know, back in 2011, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society made it very clear that they were totally willing to work with the atheist community. So I love doing support stuff for this organization. So go before you listen to this, before you go listen to this actually pretty great episode, go now. Go over there. Okay, you back? Great, here's an episode.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey and with Rebecca Friedman and with Bridget Lombardo and with Dan Lombardo. How are you guys today?
Good.
Doing great.
So we're here in the studio because this was my first year not at Camp Quest Northwest since its inception, but it was definitely a year for you guys to be at Camp Quest Northwest.
It was absolutely wonderful. You were missed, definitely. But
aw, shucks.
it was a very intense week. I think the campers had a great... I know it was in cabins, not in tents. Yes. Okay. Let's get the puns out now. But it was a fun week.
So besides it being a fun week, because it's always a fun week. I mean, you're at sleepaway camp. You got cabins. You got, you know, huge communal dining room rituals. And you have the, you know, getting up and doing your calisthenics in the morning and doing your programs and, you know, going out on the water. But what were some of the highlights this year?
Well, this year we introduced a new program. In the past, we've done marine science beach walks, and we still did those this year. But we also added a botany program where we're taking the kids on nature trails and teaching them about some of the wild plants that are in the area, some of their food and medicinal uses, what they were used for by Native Americans who'd lived in this area for thousands of years. That went over really, really well, and each kid got to take home a pressed book full of the plants that they themselves had collected. So that was a really cool thing this year.
Yeah, the theme was Camp Quest Northwest School of Wisdom and Wonder. And so it sort of had a play with the Harry Potter world. And so instead of just calling it botany, it was herbology. We had a chemistry thing, so it was potions or invisible alchemy. All of the campers got letters, actual physical letters sent home on parchment paper with a wax seal that had the CQ logo in it.
Was this delivered by owl?
Seagulls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had seagull stamps on them, you know. We had a lot of fun with the theme. I'm trying to think of some of the other programming. Oh, Divinity. We had some tarot reading and like cold reading classes on like how to notice how psychics and whatnot are using those sort of tools to debunk people. And it was really fun.
So in the Harry Potter world, it's magic. And in the Harry Potter world, it's granted that magic is real and magic happens. Mm-hmm. So when you're going through divination or herbology or potions or alchemy, I'm assuming that the take on it is these things aren't real, but we link them to our real material world?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was mostly with just the divinity one one that really had the skeptic take. The rest of it was more just like, this is how it actually works sort of thing. Unfortunately, I didn't get to go to all of the programming, but it was the campers were definitely entertained and informed by a lot of it, so...
Is this something that even a non-Harry Potter aficionado could, like, integrate with?
Oh, for sure.
Every kid? Easily. Yeah, okay. Easily.
We tried very carefully to make sure that we weren't stepping on any toes. You know, when it's, like, it's obvious that there is a Harry Potter-esque theme going on, but we were very careful not to actually say that this was Harry Potter-themed, you know, that this was the specific thing. So, if, you know, some of the younger kids were not familiar with the... the book series or the movie series, they wouldn't really be like left out.
Right. We also had an all camp physical activity before. We've always had the sort of more mentally challenged, like the mental challenges of like puzzles and scavenger hunts. This year we had a Squidditch, which was a combination of flag football and dodgeball and capture the flag. And it was chaotic, to say the least, but I think everybody enjoyed it, except for maybe
pancakes.
The
campers all went really, really well.
Yeah.
But yeah, in our second test run game, one of our counselors actually broke his leg.
Yeah, the day that the campers arrived, so he spent the entire week on crutches, and we had to like sort of cobble together a way that crutches would work both indoors in the lodge and out in the sand and the dirt and the grass and everything at camp. And
so even despite injuries and broken ankles and things like that, there's still innovation going
right
on.
Yep. Yeah, and I think the final thing was they cut a lawnmower tire in half and lined it with just a lot of popsicle sticks, because we have so many popsicle sticks, and then attach that with duct tape to the bottom of his crutches, and it worked quite well.
Yeah, off-road crutches.
Yeah, but I guess if you're going to need that anywhere, you would want that at Camp Quest, because you have all of these engineers and
yeah,
critical thinkers,
and yeah. A medic, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm actually sort of struck by the tenacity that Camp Quest Northwest would have in one's psyche to motivate you to stay through the week despite experiencing a broken ankle.
Well, he had actually just quit his job to attend camp. They didn't give him the time off, so he was like, "Of course, I'm going to stay." What?
Okay.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, I think that speaks very highly, in fact, of Pancakes' personal tenacity.
Yes.
That, you know, even though he was in significant pain for a large portion of the camp, he, you know, he kept a smile. He took care of all of his duties, kept working, you know, did everything he needed to do. And, you know, we were all there to help out. But, you know, he was really into, you know, okay, help me when I absolutely need it, but everything else, I can do this. I got this.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that really shows the dedication of all of the staff at camp is, you know, when I am here, I am here, and I'm 100% in it. And I think the campers really recognize that sort of dedication in all of the staff that they encounter. And it makes a big difference because they want to come back. That's actually what a big part of my focus this year was for the leadership track campers. So the older campers, the 14 to 17 year olds, in getting them programming ready for them to come back as counselors. And we've had a couple of really successful campers come back as counselors now. And, you know, we're refining it every year. We're giving them more support and more challenges and things like that. And this year with the LTs, we talked a lot about gender identity, gender expression, gender roles and stereotypes and things like that, and more importantly, how to break it and to like actively be aware of it. And it was absolutely amazing, you know, to have this conversation on, you know, Tuesday afternoon, and then, you know, the all camp dance comes up on Thursday evening, and one of our male campers arrived in a dress and makeup and hair and nails done and everything, and the response that everybody gave was, "Wow, you look really good." There was no negativity whatsoever. There was no like, "Boys can't wear dresses" or anything like that from any of the campers, any of the staff, like nothing. And it was really, really beautiful to see like the campers be able to identify and present themselves as they want to and have this complete respect and support. And it was quite, I mean, I'm always overwhelmed by Thursday evening at camp, but it was really beautiful to see.
Mm-hmm. It sounds really excellent. You know, in years past, clearly it's largely a community of atheists that come together to put on Camp Quest. Camp Quest was, you know, invented and created as an alternative to things like the Boy Scouts, where you have to, you know, profess a faith in God, or church camps that are sleepaway camps, things like that. And we've always straddled that line of saying, like, no, this is not the atheist camp. This is just a camp where we don't have religion. We don't, you know, make kids be atheists here. And when Sam was doing interviews, I think in our third year, mm-hmm. it really struck us how the kids, the campers, got in front of the mics and said, I'm so happy to be at atheist camp. Uh-huh. And we're like, oh, no, we failed. but hearing that this is a place where campers, in the face of, you know, other pressures and forces that ostracize them for being non-religious, can feel very much at home. Did you find again this year that kids were mentioning, like, I'm so happy to be back at atheist camp, or some kids were like, oh, this is an atheist camp, I didn't realize that. Was the word atheist or humanist brought up that much?
I think humanist was brought up a lot more than the word atheist. But I mean, it's always sort of like that underlying sense of, you know, we can talk about religion as, you know, a historical thing, or as a social construct, but that nobody's ever going to try to force their beliefs. So in that aspect, it was there, but it wasn't like really an overt thing. Yeah.
My name is Jonathan Ariola of TDTF Pod. The more voices you hear, the more we observe and feel, the more we learn about the other facets of this complex and wondrous beast that is humanism and free thought. Join me on the science-loving journey through topics like justice, murder, family, diligence, taste, history, society, race, boob jobs, law, addiction, video games, fear, sacrifice, children. Wait, not sacrificing children. That's not what I meant. Bring the popcorn and watch me break down the issues too deep, too fast. Join me at TDTF Pod. I'm Jonathan Ariola. Talk to you soon.
Allegedly, soccer is a beautiful game.
It is when you know what's going on.
That's the problem. MLS is 20 years old, and people are still shocked to hear that there's an American Soccer League.
That's why you and I are talking about it. This is a discussion of American soccer for nerds and beginners. It's a good first step if a crippling soccer addiction is something that's missing from your life.
Join the club. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLS by actually following the season.
Hands-free football. New episodes every week at handsfreefootball.com. I want to bring it back, but it's more than basic.
So, Dan, you mentioned Pancake's name, his camp name, Pancakes,
yeah.
And you yourself have occasionally adopted the personas and different names of people at camp. Did Gustav make a reappearance this year?
Gustav did make a reappearance this year, yeah. He managed to come into camp just to speak about the giant Pacific Northwestern tree octopus and its habitat and the places that it lives, the way it spends its life. There was an unusual predisposition by the campers with the mating practices of this species. Every single of the five groups that came to ask Gustav about this creature was very interested in the mating displays of these animals. And, you know, chalk that up to childhood youth or like teenage frustrations. Who knows? But, you know, it was fun to pick up the character again.
Well, excellent. And Northwest Tree Octopus, this is whence you get the squid itch and the squid itch. And
right.
Any other...
Well, you know, they make a cream for that.
any other cephalopod-themed things go on this year?
Not that I can recall. Well, we had our programming on... logical fallacies. That was an all-camp activity where we had five different groups where Gustav spoke about Arctotuthis, or the Camp Quest Northwest mascot of the giant Pacific tree octopus. We also had a representative of Camp Quest West. She brought Shri, their mascot, to camp.
So this is sort of a Bigfoot type...
A shri is invisible and can create all sorts of different kinds of prints depending on what you're looking at. You just know that it's shri's prints.
Got it.
But shri is invisible. We had Paul spoke about Camp Quest Texas's mascot of the jackalope, which was quite fun. We had Chessie, Camp Quest Chesapeake's mascot was talked about. Ben and Pancakes talked about how Chessie is sort of like the cousin to the Loch Ness Monster. What were the other ones? And of course, Newton from Camp Quest, Oregon. And Libby and Phil definitely had a good time with that, talking about there was a book about Newton, and of course it was 100% true because this person who wrote the book was a doctor, and it was quite entertaining. And there are some really great pictures with the book that Libby wrote about it. And
this is Libby, who may be familiar to longtime listeners of Ask an Atheist,
mm-hmm. who is now quite a prolific author, and she was able to bring a lot of her writing talents to camp. We have a natural selection game that we do at every mealtime, and she sort of took that on as her own thing. And campers were able to write some natural selection scenarios, and then she also wrote some of her own that were quite hilarious and Pokemon related.
Sweet.
So we didn't have a lot to do with Archituthis in general, but just more of skepticism and how to identify and sort of combat logical fallacies, which was great.
Yeah, with the talks about each of the mythical creatures, kids were campers, I should say, were awarded points on spotting logical fallacies or logical inconsistencies in the descriptions and talks about any of these creatures. So it was sort of like it's fun to talk about these invisible creatures and all that, but the real purpose there is to teach kids how to spot these terrible arguments, tautological arguments or fallacious arguments.
We also had some group activities relating to some of the famous free thinkers. So each in past, the campers have gone through their morning activities in pod groups. This year they were called houses, and each house had a house founder who was a one of our famous free thinkers. So we had Frida Kahlo, Bruce Lee, Charles Darwin,
Frederick Douglass,
and
Marie Curie.
Marie Curie. And so each house had a house founder, a house...
That's a huge diversity of free thinkers also, really showcasing through different time and areas of origin and...
What sort of industry they were in. It was quite interesting to see the kids' reactions to learning about all of these different famous free thinkers. And so there was the house founder... was this famous free thinker. Then there was somebody, or a house historian or house ghost, talking about the famous free thinkers. Each one had an animal that was native to the Pacific Northwest that they got to learn about. Each house had a specific Camp Quest value that was associated with it. And it was really interesting to have like the sorting ceremony where kids got to discover what house they belonged to. And it was nice to give them that sort of like sort of cohesive group feeling with this house. And that was fun.
So in the past few years, I've done a lot of the sort of campfire emceeing and bringing up different storytellers and singing the silly songs. It's one of my favorite things to do at camp, because if you are silly and you're screaming your head off, you don't even have to have an on-key voice. It gives everyone else permission to be a little bit silly because there's no possible way that they could look as dorky as Becky, right? So, you know, it kind of lets people be comfortable. But this year you guys had a really, really special addition to your campfire and your sort of musical palette.
We really did. It was so exciting to have Shelley Siegel at camp with us this year. She did a lot of the silly songs, too. To see her jumping around with her guitar, singing songs about the frogs and stuff, that was so much fun. But then she also did some of her own original works at Campfire. And
So I don't want to give too much away, but Dan, you and Shelley were able to collaborate sort of before camp and during camp on some things and inspire some kids, I heard, in some really profound ways.
That's right. Shelley and I are co-writing an EP. It's going to have four songs that all sort of pertain to ecological issues in the Pacific Northwest. The first of those songs that we completed, we sort of debuted at camp, just sort of our own private camp version of it, at the talent show. We talked about the Southern Resident Orcas and the ecological issues that are facing them, sort of their history. And the song went over with the kids really well. The next morning, some of the campers had started a Save the Whales club and put up these hand-drawn in crayon signs all over camp about saving these orcas. And, you know, to save these orcas, you know, you have to save the salmon. To save the salmon, you have to get rid of some of these dams. And the kids actually sort of like grasped the complexity of the issue, you know, that it wasn't just a simple save the whales, that there are all these steps that have to happen to get there. And I think Shelley and myself are both incredibly moved by how passionate these kids were about this issue that they didn't even know about, you know, a day before, and that they have continued their Save the Whales club outside of camp. And, you know, it's really great for an environmentalist like myself that's, you know, trying to make a difference, to see that it really is that possible, that, you know, that the next generation isn't just a bunch of apathetic Pokemon Go players stumbling around with their phones out. No, these are people who have real life interests and real life hobbies and passions.
They're super active Pokemon Go players, yeah, right. that want to save the whales.
Right. And that we can tell them the truth about what's happening in the environment around them, that not only can they handle it, but they have the strength and creativity and compassion to take on these challenges and be a part of the continuing environmental fight. That was at least for me, that was a really, really big victory to see.
It's huge. So if anyone says that they're not humanist because that's too human focused and they like all living creatures, there's absolutely an appreciation and I don't want to say reverence because that seems so religious almost, but definitely an appreciation and an acknowledgement of a human's place in the world and interactions with all organisms and things like that. So as my first year not being at camp, is there one thing that you could say is that you guys are looking forward to or striving to accomplish in subsequent years?
That's a really big question. My focus is getting campers to come back as counselors, and I was sort of looking at what I started calling the next youngest cabin or the next oldest cabin, the pre-LTs, and I was looking at those that will be coming up into the leadership cabins, and I'm really excited to have a lot of those campers come back to me, because some of them started in my cabin 4 years ago.
In your baby cabin.
In my baby cabin. Some of them are preparing to come up to the LTs, and I am so excited. I was shocked when I saw some of them. I was like, wait a minute, you can't be ready to come into my cabin yet, because you're still, in my mind, you're still eight. But that's my big focus. Yeah.
Dan, any takeaways from this year or looking forward to next year?
Oh, for sure. For one, you know, the environmental angle is an angle that we've sort of been neglecting at camp. And I I'm really pleased that our first sort of endeavor into talking about it went so well. It's something that I certainly wish to continue in the future. And, you know, I'm interested to see what some of these campers do over the course of the year, you know, between this year's session and next year's session. And I'm really looking forward to hearing about, you know, what they've done as volunteers or what organizations or particular causes they're taking up.
And any idea about when that EP will be out?
The EP should be out the middle of next year. The first song that we completed is potentially going to be the title single of the EP. It's called Great Loud Sound. Our friend and friend of the show, former host of the show, Libby, is writing a book with the same title, Great Loud Sound, to be released at the same time. And hopefully we'll have a video for the song too. So sometime around the middle of next year, look for Great Loud Sound, the book, Great Loud Sound, the single, Great Loud Sound, the EP.
Mm-hmm. I've got goosebumps just thinking about it.
I'm so excited. Seriously, our listeners have no idea what's about to happen, but it's really, really exciting.
So stick with us and you'll be able to hear that. This is Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey, but with Becky Friedman and Bridget and Dan Lombardo. Thank you guys for being with us. Give us a call, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842.
And that's the end of this podcast. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv, email us at questions@askanatheist.tv, you can voicemail us at 844-753-7842, that's 844-SKEPTIC. You can visit us on Twitter on AskAnAtheistWA. This episode was pre-recorded. Thank you guys very much. See you next week.